The following message was given by Brothers Osmar Suarez and Timothy Hung in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, May 6, 2018. The title of the message is Our Urgent Need to See the Vision of the Church as the One New Man. Scripture reading, Acts chapter 26, verse 19, and Ephesians chapter 2, verses 15 through 16.
How much we love you. Lord, we give this time to you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Reveal your purpose to us. Lord, we pray you bless this time. Bless your own word. Oh, refresh our vision. Oh, renew us. Get more ground in us for your own purpose. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Saints, this morning we will review what we covered last week. We've been covering the International Chinese Speaking Conference in Taiwan, the message concerning the goal of the Lord's recovery, to bring forth the one new man. So it's concerning one new man. So this we will cover for the following weeks. This week will be the second week. Concerning the one new man, it's in the Word in two portions especially. That is in Ephesians and in Colossians. I think we all read the Bible. And in the past, when I read the Bible, when I read this portion concerning the one new man, you know, a few verses, I just, you know, read it, but I didn't pay much attention. Until later on through the ministry, this matter of the one new man was revealed as the highest definition of the church. Wow, I say, the one new man, just a few verses, and yet is the highest definition concerning the church. And we see this firstly in the book of Ephesians. We all know Ephesians is a book on the church. And through the ministry, and I was very much helped that the church is not a physical building. You know, still a lot of people, they think the church is a building with a, you know, steeple, right? And along the corner. But according to the word, this word, church, ecclesia, means the called out ones. And so this is a group of people. In fact, this morning, our gathering here, it may seem that, you know, we all just came from our home, we just come for a meeting. But in fact, according to the word, we are called out from the world to come here to have a gathering. This is the gathering of us. We all are called out of the world into his name. We are gathering here into his name. So this is a very very simple definition concerning the church. But the church, according to Ephesians, is not just the called out one, the assembly of the called out ones. The church is also the house of God, the family of God. The house, according in the word, refers both to God's family, also to God's house, God's dwelling place. This is a little more than just the gathering of the called out ones. You know, usually we are very thankful that Shirley, you know, received the Lord, got baptized. Amen. We usually say, welcome to God's family, right? Amen. It's truly wonderful that we have the gospel preaching to reach out to so many. God has called, God has selected them. And yet, we need to reach out to them so they can come into God's family. To become dear ones of God's family members. So this is very precious. Ephesians also reveal that the church is also the kingdom of God. kingdom is like a country, you know. On one hand, we are in God's family, enjoying God's life, enjoying God's love. On the other hand, we are also in God's kingdom, in the divine country, having a divine citizenship. Amen. I think many of us here, some are just immigrants, eventually became, you know, citizens of U.S. Some, you know, you had to give up your original citizenship in order to receive the U.S. citizenship. But some, you can have dual citizenship. So all these are very precious, revealing what is the church. Of course, Ephesians goes further, not just the gathering of the called out ones, not just God's family, not just God's kingdom. The church is also the body of Christ. The body of Christ is very high. It's higher than God's kingdom. It's higher than God's family. It's higher than just the assembly of the called out ones. Because in the body, you know, pick up a step. Concerning the citizenship, you can give up your citizenship. Concerning the family members, you know, I have a little big family. If my kids, they don't like one another, just stay in their own rooms. In God's family, we all are God's children, right? We can see the family, they're still, you know, you can kind of, can I not come home? You know, you have your choice. When it comes to the body, you lose a lot of freedom. You lose your choices. You cannot give up your citizenship. You cannot say, I don't want to be a member of this family. You cannot say, oh, this assembly, I choose my assembly. No, the body of Christ. We all are members. Amen. We are members. All my members, if my legs are tired, I want to come up, my legs cannot say, no, I want to sit down. Can. Because we are members of this one body. Amen. So we see the revelation concerning the church, it goes higher and higher. Of course, later on, Ephesians also mentioned that the church is the counterpart of Christ. The church is also a warrior. But concerning the new man is the highest definition of the church. You cannot give up your participation in the assembly. Because once you are a part of the new man, you lose your choice. And you cannot say, you know, we all are brothers and sisters, I still have my freedom. I'm not happy with this family. I want to go someplace else. No, you can't. The body already is very intimate and it's of life. You cannot have your choice. Otherwise, every member of my body have their own choice. You'll be a corpse standing here, no life. But when we come to the matter of the new man, are you just a member of the new man? No. Concerning the new man, in the body there's life. In the new man, one man, what you have? You have one person. One person. So this matter of the new man is so high. Eventually we will see what God wants is one new man. You know, this brings us to the very beginning when God created man. Of course, the man God created for his purpose, it was on God's heart. But eventually, this man became fallen. And this man became the old man. Of course, when you have the new, then the other one is old, right? The original one, it becomes old. If I have a new car, whatever the car I had will be an old car. Doesn't matter whether I bought it yesterday. If I buy a new car, that car will be my old car, right? Concerning the new man, when it came into existence, the man God created, it is the old man. The old man did not fulfill God's purpose because God created man for his own purpose. The man God created was in his image according to his likeness in order to express God. And he was also to be God's representation, committed with God's authority to have dominion over the whole earth, over the birds of heaven, over the fish of the sea, over the cattle, over the whole earth, over every creeping thing creepeth upon the earth. That was the man God created. That was what was commissioned to man to fulfill his purpose by expressing him and by representing him. But that man became fallen. What should God do? God's enemy seduced man. Man became fallen. And the enemy, after the fall of man, the enemy may be laughing. God, you have created man, but now, what happened to the man? It seems like God has lost the battle, but not so. Our God, he has a purpose. He will never change. He can never be defeated. You know, that's why we are sent the first hymn, Down from His Glory. Ever-living story. God, the great creator, became my savior. Without reluctance, he took blood and flesh. You know, when we send those hymns around the Lord's table, we enjoy very much, right? I enjoy very much, you know. We have been set free. We are released from the bondage of sin, from the slavery of sin. We're very thankful that, you know, he is our savior. He came to bring salvation to us. But, in fact, in God's heart, he has more than that in view. He became a man in order to recover the fallen man, in order to bring forth something else. You know, this is what we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. Maybe we can read that verse 15 and 16 together. You know, when the Lord Jesus was on the cross, the enemy was laughing, right? He thought, you know, the one came, was going to accomplish God's purpose, that now he through the betrayal of one of his disciples, and he put him on the cross. Of course, eventually Satan realized, not so. In fact, he was trapped. He was trapped in the flesh, you know. The word told us, you know, the children have partaken blood and flesh. He himself also partook of the same, that he might destroy him through death. He might destroy him who has the might of death. So in fact, the Satan on the cross, he was being dealt with. But the more important thing is, you know, God has a purpose, wants to fulfill. Concerning the old creation, man was the center. Concerning the new creation, man is still the center. So in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, they mention that on the cross, our focus is still that on the cross, the Lord, He bore our sins on the tree, on the cross,
Amen.
That we might be redeemed. But according to Ephesians 2:15-16, something else. While the Lord Jesus was being crucified on the cross, the word said, abolishing in his flesh. That means he took the flesh, and the flesh was put on the cross. Abolishing in his flesh. Not only he was bearing our sins on the cross, something else, abolishing in his flesh, the law of the commandments and ordinances. So there was something else, the ordinances. We know the background, the law came, you know, he was born of Mary, you know, one of the Jewish descendants, Abraham descendants. And according to the Old Testament, God gave God's people not only the law, Ten Commandments, but also ordinances. That means a kind of for their living and for their worship. Those ordinances are not the moral rules. On the cross was abolished. The ordinances separate the Jews from the Gentiles. And in fact, there was enmity. If we read on, we will see that abolishing in his flesh, having slain the enmity in it on the cross. That becomes, ordinances become the separation and become the enmity between the Jews and the Gentiles. Even now, you know, all of us sitting here, we all came from different backgrounds, you know. We all have our traditions, you know, our nationality, our, you know, our habits, you know, different kind of a way of living, you know. You may like certain kind of food, and people like certain, you know, other kind of food. All this causes people to be divided. Even sometimes causes enmity. Christ on the cross, he abolished in his flesh the law, commandments, and ordinances. So he took away all those causing the divisions, the separations among human race. For what purpose? For the purpose that he might create the two, the Jews and the Gentiles, into one new man. This is very striking because this one new man brings us back to the very beginning when God created man.
Amen.
That man failed God's purpose. And eventually, the fallen man became all divided. But now, on the cross, the Lord, through the cross, not only dealt with all the negative things, including Satan, including our sin, the world, the old man, you know, everything negative, but also he abolished the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create the two in himself into one new man.
Amen.
So the crucifixion of Christ brought forth the one new man, the creation of the one new man. This is truly wonderful. If we see this, you know, this has very much to do with us today, because if we realize we may be many here, you know, we still have the burden to preach the gospel in all the eight halls. You know, we have the gospel preaching here, both for the Spanish speaking and English speaking. Yes, we like all the different races to get saved, to enjoy God's salvation.
Amen.
But the Bible reveals the church has one aspect, that is, the church is the one new man.
Amen.
In other words, here we may be many, we all are part of the one new man.
Amen.
How do we relate to one another? We come to the church. Roger from West Coast, right? I'm from the west of the West Coast. Now we all end up in New York City. Can we be one? If we are in the one new man, there's no Roger. There's no Timothy. There's only one person, Christ. So usually we say, we want as many people to get saved, to come into the church. But we don't want your person. Because it's only one person allowed to come in, to be in the church. That is the person of Christ. So the numbers need to increase. the persons need to decrease. In fact, it's only allowed one person, that is Christ. You know, that's this verse, you know, in Colossians chapter 3. Maybe we can read those two verses together. Colossians chapter 3, 10 and 11. Okay, let's read together. And have put on the new man, which is being renewed unto full knowledge, according to the image of him who created him, where there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man. But Christ is all and in all. Usually we skip all those, you know, there cannot be Greek and Jews, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man. We usually skip that. We say, yeah, Christ is all and in all. In fact, are those in the church? They are in the church.
Amen.
But Christ is all. And Christ is in all. That means we want as many people with all different backgrounds to get saved, to come into the church. But the church, in its highest definition, the one new man, only allow one person, Christ. So with all of us, we have no choice. The Lord has put us in the church. And the church, in its highest definition, is only one new man, one person. So if I come in with my own personality, I'm going to cause problems. If you come in with your personality, you're going to cause problems. I heard brother share with me. He said he got saved. And eventually, he was burdened to serve, like many of us. You know, in fact, all of us should be serving because God has made us all priests, right? We send hymns. And we're all supposed to be serving in God's house. But once he starts serving, he's pretty intelligent, smart. And so when saints are serving, you know, he has his opinion. And the serving brother told him, if I remember right, 1 year. Keep your mouth shut. Don't give your opinion. Why? Because God doesn't need our smartness. God doesn't need any counsel from us. Only one person, Christ. So, you know, when we all come in, we have a sister just got saved. We may tell her later on. But anyhow, in the church, we all need to learn. Of course, we need to learn to contact Christ, contact the Lord. Then we know what's out of ourselves and what is from the Lord, you know. At the end, I just want to mention that one new man is a corporate man. It's not just one person, I guess we all know, because he mentioned about creating out of the two in himself into one new man. So this method of created in himself, this in has three meanings in English and in Chinese. It's just one translation. It implies in, of course, it implies a kind of realm. So Christ in himself, Christ is the realm for the new man to be created. This word also has the meaning of through. That means he is also the means for the one new man to be brought forth. And the third meaning is Christ is also the substance, the elements in creation, the one new man. So the one new man is constituted not just with a human element, but also with the divine element. That's why it's created in himself, in Christ himself. So that's why the new man is a corporate man, but with the divine element.
Amen.
And God created and redeemed the human element. So we see this very clearly in Ephesians. The new man, the old man is a corporate man also, because God created one man, Adam and Eve. They are corporate men. The new man is also, out of the two, the Jews and Gentiles, God created the one new man. With all of us, we have no choice. When we were born into the old man. But now, through our believing, out of our choice, we enter into the new man. And this new man God created is for accomplishing his purpose. That's why this new man, God got the new man. This new man has both the human element and also the divine element. And this new man will accomplish God's purpose. Amen. The creation of the new man is finished. Doesn't need to do it again. But this new man needs to be brought forth. That's why the overall burden for the conference in ICSC, the conference, international conference, is the goal of the church is to bring forth the one new man. The goal of the Lord's recovery is to bring forth the one new man. So we see that this new man is created, but need to be brought forth. In fact, we all are in this process. And God is carrying this out because the new man needs Christ to be his life, to be his person, and to be his constituent. So this is very crucial that today, of course, we have our human life, but we choose not to live by our human life. We're learning to live by the divine life. And the way the Lord told us is that he who eats me will live because of me. Amen. So every day, when we eat the Lord, then whatever we enjoy of the Lord will be constituted us. And that is also the constitution of the new man. So we all today are participating in the constitution of the new man. We have each one of us, we are part of this new man, and we participate for the Lord to bring forth the new man to fulfill his purpose in creation of man. So today we need to eat the Lord every day, you know. So when we are going over this, if you read your morning watch sheets, he also mentioned that in the church scripture reading or the book, you know, spiritual book reading, we are covering the reality of Christ. That is the Lord Jesus as the reality of all the offerings. And especially is the offering concerning the meal offering. You know, the Lord, he is the meal offering. He's the reality of all the offerings. But one particular point is the Lord is the fulfillment of the meal offering. That's why the Lord Jesus, when he was on the earth, he said, I'm the bread from heaven. I'm the living bread. He who eats me shall live because of me. So today, by eating him every day, we cannot live him. You know, that's why the Lord's table. The Lord's table seems very simple, right? Just the bread and the cup, eating and drinking. That is God's economy. Amen. That is way for God to fulfill his purpose. Amen. Yesterday we had a session concerning this meal offering, especially concerning the meal offering in the aspect that, you know, he has different spices, components. In addition to the fine flour, there's the oil, there's the frankincense, and there is the salt. It makes the meal offering. And the way to eat, the way to live is to eat the meal offering. But to eat the meal offering, then we can be like him, and we can live him, then even we can become him, you know. So the new man, one new man is, on one hand, is the church. On the other hand, one new man is just Christ. Because in the new man, Christ is in all, and Christ is all. Amen. So today, when we daily eat him and enjoy him, we live him. We let him be constituted into us, so we can become the corporate meal offering. We can become the corporate one new man to fulfill God's purpose. Amen. I'm just so thankful today. This matter is revealed to us. You know, during the ITRO, International Training for Elders and Responsible Ones, the burden was taking Christ as our person and living him in and for the church life. Again, this is a matter of in the one new man, there's only one person living there. today, for us to live the law, we just need to eat him. Amen. Then he'll be lived out of us. So may the Lord take us on in the matter of the one new man. You know, we have another many sessions concerning the one new man. Today's session is just that we will see something concerning that God's purpose is hinges on the one new man. The one new man has been created, but the one new man needs to be brought forth. And the one new man will be such a reality in our midst. And through our eating him, and we can live him. And let him be the person in the church life and in our daily life. Brother Osman will continue.
Praise the Lord. Amen. This message is on the One New Man were released in 1977 in Taipei. And out of this speaking came out a book called The One Body, One Spirit, The One New Man. And when I was asked to share on these messages, I felt not adequate because I asked myself how much experience really I have about the reality of the one new man in me, in my living. And even more, as was asked to share with Brother Timothy, whom was actually seated at that conference in 1977, if I'm right. You were there. So I felt even more inadequate. And I'm sharing this with you because I know that's the feeling that many times we have, right? We are not adequate. We do not qualify. We are not there. But this is exactly the vision that we're talking about. And as I got into these verses, I actually have very encouraged. This is a matter of faith. This is not of him who's able. We were saved by grace. And chapter 2 of Ephesians is speaking of specifically that. That we were dead in our offenses and sin, but we were saved by grace. And this is a matter of faith. And also this chapter 2 of Ephesians speaks of Christ as the peace. He himself is our peace. Amen. Our peace is a person. And we just finished this training in Leviticus, in which we saw that the reality of all these offerings is the person of Christ. And it is because he is the reality of these offerings. For those of us who do not qualify, we can take Christ as our offering. And in him, the one new man was created. The experience of the one new man is in him. And we have been given access to him. So we do qualify to speak this. And you know, saints, I feel that the more I speak this, the more I see this vision. And the Bible is clear. The more we see it, the more we experience it. Amen. May we see this vision so that we will be able to enter into the experience of the one new man. If we don't see it, we cannot enter into it. But may the Lord give us spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of him, that the eyes of our hearts will be enlightened to see. My living may contradict that, but that is the lie. We have to look at the truth. We have to look away unto him who is true. He is the truth. I am encouraged. Well, I was not planning to say that. It's out of the script, but I was, as my brother Timothy was sharing, this was burning in my heart, and I had to let it out of my chest. I just want to share just a few minutes on these two adjectives of the highest status of the church, the one new man. This is where it is focused, God's eternal purpose, to produce, to bring forth the one new man. And this is why this is the goal of the Lord's recovery, to bring forth the one new man. And being such a huge truth, the Bible is very economical. It uses only these two adjectives to describe it. Is one and is new. So I was just looking at it, some of the verses that I quoted in the outline and on the portions that we are enjoying this week. And I was very, very much encouraged to see that this new man is, number one, one. Is one. We are many believers, but we are one man. And even in God's creation, it shows this principle of God's intention. When Adam was created, in him was mankind created. He was a corporate, collective man. Genesis 1:26 tells us that God created man. And then it says let them. So it's a plural. So in Adam, the one man, was included all mankind. And the same case is with the Lord. In Christ, Adam is the first Adam, the first man, and the second man, the second Adam, the last Adam, is Christ. It's the same principle. In Christ, all the believers in Christ, as we are constituted with the element of Christ as our inner constitution, then we become constituents of this one new man, where there's only one person. The church, as the body of Christ, has many members, and we have many different functions and many different measures of faith and function in the church life as the body of Christ. But as the one new man, there's only one person. And this person has only one heart. And this person has only one will. This person has only one mind. But the Bible speaks we have the mind of Christ. In him, this new man was created. And in him, we can experience the reality of the one new man. So it's no longer I, but Christ. This requires some renewing, because we're coming out of the old creation. So for the old creation to be the new creation, there is the need for renewing. And the Bible speaks in many portions about the renewing, specifically of the mind. Why the mind? Because the mind, as we know, is the leading part of our soul. Our spirit has been saved. Christ is in our spirit. We have the dwelling Christ in us. He's the indwelling Christ today in our spirit. But he desires to spread throughout all the parts of our soul, our mind, emotion, and will. But it begins with the mind. And the Bible gives us a lot of verses this week. We have many of them. The need for the renewing of the mind. Specifically in Ephesians 4. Let me just read those verses. Ephesians 4:23 says, "And put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and holiness of the reality." But this putting on of the new man requires the putting off the new man, the old man. And the key to the putting off of the old man and the putting on of the new man is in verse 23, "that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Renewed in the spirit of your mind. But for many years I have heard that do not be in the mind, be in the spirit. Do not be in the mind, be in the spirit. But this verse is telling us to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. How is this possible? The indwelling Christ that is in our spirit desires to invade our mind. And when the Lord occupies our mind, then there is a renewing of our mind. And as our mind is renewed, the rest of the parts of our soul, our will, and our emotions follow where the mind is. This is our experience. Wherever our thoughts are, that's where our being will be. So, we need to have our mind occupied by the things of the Spirit. Romans 8 speaks that the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. We also have many other verses in the New Testament, like Romans 12, later tells us to be transformed. How? By the renewing of the mind. What is it that needs to be transformed? The soul. And how is it it is transformed in these verses in Romans 12, 2? By the renewing of our mind. Also, Colossians 3 tells us to set your mind on the things which are above, and not on the things which are on the earth. When we mind the things of the earth, then our mind is old, because everything on the earth is old. Right. We need a renewing. Amen. And this renewing brings this new element. This new element is Christ. However, the Bible tells us that there's nothing new under the sun. I was enjoying those verses in Ecclesiastes. Chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Then verse 8 on chapter 1 says, "All things are wearisome." We definitely have experienced this. All things are wearisome. But then verse 9 says, "There is nothing new under the sun." And we're speaking here of something new, the new man. That is because this new man is not from under the sun, but from above, from the heavens. Let me just read you this note real quick on verse 2. It says, "Ecclesiastes stresses the vanity of vanities, of all things under the sun, as realized by man through the wisdom received from God. No matter how good, excellent, marvelous, and wonderful a thing may be, as long as it is of the old creation, is part of the vanity of vanities under the sun. Only the new creation, which is the heavens, which is in the heavens and not under the sun, is not vanity, but is reality." The next book, Song of Songs, stresses that Christ is the Song of Songs, the satisfaction of satisfactions to the human life, which is versus the vanity of vanities of all things under the sun. So Christ is the only element that is new. When we speak of something new, God is new. Anything else is old. We need the renewing. We need the addition of the new element into us. And we have Christ in our spirit that desires to spread in our being. And this is related to our living, our walk, that expresses the kind of person we are. Brother Timothy was speaking that in the church as the one new man, there's only one person, Christ. The walk of this person is not a walk of vanity, but a walk of reality. And in Ephesians 4:17, probably the brothers have that verse, Ephesians 4:17 says, "This therefore I say and testify in the Lord that you no longer," praise the Lord, "no longer walk as the Gentiles also walk in the vanity of their minds." This is in contrast to what we have in Ephesians 4:23, "and that you be renewed in the spirit of our mind." So our mind could be a channel to vanity or a channel to reality. Oh, Lord Jesus, that we will be those who set our mind on the Spirit to cooperate with the Lord, that He will gain what He's after, that He will be the person expressed in the church as the one new man. Praise the Lord for such a vision. This vision should direct and govern our being. In the outline, I'm just going to read this, and with this I finish, it says, "The heavenly vision governs us, restricts us, controls us, directs us, preserves us, revolutionizes us, help us in the genuine, keep us in the genuine oneness, and give us the boldness to go on." Oh, so as we see this, may this vision control us and govern us. And if we understand the vision, but this is not a controlling vision to us, I feel we just need to pray. We just need to begin the day on our knees and pray and cry out, "Lord, give me such a vision that this will control my living." It is because of this vision that we are here. It is because of this vision that God created us as human beings to be expressed through us. And the fact that we are here this morning means that He called us out of every tribe, nation, and tongue to be the one new man. So everything is for this. The preaching of the gospel is for this. The shepherding of the believers is for this. The perfecting of one another is for this. That God will obtain the one new man in the church. But even in our personal experience, our lives, our family life, our job, the boss that we dislike, the co-worker that we cannot work with, the spouse, the children, the financial situation, the positive and the negative, everything is for this. Amen. God is in the business of bringing forth this one new man. Amen. And if we see this vision, then everything makes sense. Amen. Amen. And whenever we're discouraged, we will continue to go on because of this vision. Amen. We're not here because everything is going well. We're here for this vision. Amen. Oh, that God will obtain what he's after. Amen. The church as the one new man.